Kim, thank you so very much for reading. So, well, at such short notice, I forgot to say earlier, there's a handout on the back of the notice sheet you might have found helpful, and be great if you could keep that passage of the Bible open. Now, you might think this sheltered, but it is my view in life that there is nothing like discovering a voucher, okay, getting a gift card as a present. There is lots that's good in life. I was going to say going to the cricket, it's less good going to the cricket at the moment, but there is nothing like discovering a voucher. And if you're like me at Christmas, then you'll start with all the presents, all the big presents, and you'll throw the wrapping away. And then you'll go down to the small ones, the little small ones like the chocolates, which in our house barely last to the next day. But then you'll do the paperwork, those cards and Christmas greetings, and just nothing beats that moment with a card when you open it to read it and you discover something in it, and it is in fact a voucher or a card. So here's what I got this Christmas, a John Lewis and a Waitrose gift card. In the old days it was Woolworths. Go and get your pick and mix. Then I sort of graduated to W.H. Smith. We got your stationery, but now I'm old, middle-aged, slightly overweight. It's John Lewis gift cards. And I start today with gift cards, not simply to extol the benefits of letting your family member claim their own gift. Okay, and that is, I think, a benefit, because as someone of a certain size, I'm fed up of getting jumpers that don't fit. But I start today with gift cards because gift cards raise two questions. First, there's the what of it, the sort of value of the gift. And second, how to claim it. Oh, it's great to have a gift card, but you need to know how you can claim the gift. You know, is this the sort of card that I have to use online, or can I use it in store? Is there a deadline? Is there a time by which I have to redeem this present? And as today we reach the final week in this short series, down in Luke and in Luke's orderly account, Luke's history of Jesus. He's consulted, you'll remember, the witnesses, and he's written this so we'd know what Jesus was about. Well, our subject isn't vouchers, but it is what Christ is offering. It is the salvation Jesus says he's come to bring. 1 verse 69, you remember, he's a horn of salvation in the house of David. 2 verse 10, the angel, he's a saviour who is Christ the Lord. And it is also how to claim it. We get the value, like a gift card, and also how to claim it from the king. I mean, we'll come back to this in a moment, but verse 43 is an extraordinary verse, isn't it? Verse 43, he's just done all these healings, Jesus. He's just driven out these demons. And what does he say? I must preach the good news of the kingdom of God. And we're asking, why? Why? And I'm going to suggest that if what we get in Luke is a kind of taster of God's kingdom, a sort of taster of God's kingdom come to earth, and if it's a picture of salvation, of the rescue Christ is offering, what he will bring one day when he comes back to earth, then the good news here is that receiving it, it comes through Jesus preaching. He will come and bring this kingdom to earth one day. But entering his kingdom, well, it comes through Jesus' teaching, which means, of course, we can enter it today. Okay, that's the gift card. It's a bit of a strained analogy, that, isn't it? But this is the final time I'm speaking before the summer, and I'd run out of other ideas, so we'll run with it. And we're on to the first heading on the handout. Jesus offers a necessary salvation. Just have a look down again at verse 38. Luke writing about Jesus. And he arose and left the synagogue and entered Simon's house. Verse 38, now Simon's mother-in-law was ill with a high fever, and they appealed to him on her behalf. And he stood over her and rebuked the fever, and it left her. And immediately the sun rose and she began to serve them. Verse 40, now when the sun was setting, all those who had any who were sick with various diseases brought them to him. And he laid his hands on every one of them and healed them. And demons also came out of many, crying, you are the Son of God. But he rebuked them, and wouldn't allow them to speak because they knew that he was the Christ. And when it was day, he departed and went into a desolate place. And the people sought him and came to him and would have kept him from leaving them. Now, look, forgive me for stating the obvious, but in the world today, there are billions, quite literally, who are sick or who are suffering from illness. There are around the world today, literally billions of people who are sick. A quick look at the internet says just in the UK, 3+ million are suffering from cancer. And I got an email last week seeking prayer about Ebola from the DRC and from a church mission partner. Oh, in other words, that there has been progress from the time of Jesus. There has been progress and some medical advance. And in some areas, massive progress in some treatments for some illness. We have seen, in part, great medical advance. But the things that Luke records back then, they still exist among us, death and illness. They are not things of the past, are they? And even what Jesus faced back then in terms of the specifics of the illness, well, many of those things continue to last. So, for example, verse 38, we're told about this woman with a high fever. And if you read the commentaries, they've got various suggestions as to what that might be. Might it be dysentery, perhaps? That still exists in the world today. Malaria, some kind of trachoma. They're all things that haven't been eradicated. Verse 40, we're told about various, Luke says, various diseases. Many people, we're told, who are sick from all different kinds of illnesses. But note, with each of these illnesses, verse 40, these people are very sick. They can't even bring themselves, verse 40. They have to be brought by others. And they've come, I think, to Jesus, not because of social status and because they can't afford a private ward. It's interesting, isn't it? But we're not told about their status. Maybe they've thrown lots of cash at it. They're affluent, perhaps, from the private wards. No, they've come, I think, to Jesus because he can heal them, Jesus. This is the one way, they think, that we're not going to end up in the morgue. And they've come, I think, to Jesus because they can trust him, Jesus, even without all of the modern treatments that you get on a modern hospital ward. Verse 39, he stood over her and rebuked the fever. I mean, that's pretty remarkable, isn't it? He told off the illness, and it left her. And immediately she rose and began to serve them. Verse 40, when the sun was setting, all those who had any who were sick with various diseases brought them to him, and he laid his hands on every one of them, and he healed them. No, you know, take these drugs for 3 weeks, see if it makes a difference. No, sorry, there's nothing we can do. He sees them, he heals them, he helps them, and they go. And so you can see, can't you, verse 42, why they might stop him leaving. You know, this is something our world desperately needs. An end to death and illness. We are constrained, aren't we? By death and illness. Death and illness bring even the strongest to their knees. I mean, just in the sports news in the last 2 weeks, Kenny Dalglish, Kevin Keegan, these great sportsmen being brought by illness to their knees. But Jesus Christ can fix it with a word. He can rebuke the illness. He can drive it out like that, just like he did with the storm, if you know that story, as he controlled nature. And as he does with illness, so verse 41, with demons, he can drive out every evil or malign force. We spoke about demons last week, so we're not going to go into it in detail here, but just have a listen to this quote. There is no reason for Christians to fear demons. Christ has disarmed their authority. They have no power over souls. We can hold on to Christ's promise that demons will one day decisively be crushed. They are, for the moment, this author says, like roaring lions in chains. They can't do anything. Jesus is sovereign over them. And you know, it's worth just stating bluntly, as we end for now this first point, that this is in fact the state of the modern world. Isn't it? It is a world that's full of illness and a world that's full of evil. And without Christ, I would suggest, we are actually hopeless as a world. I mean, think again about cancer and all the research done on cancer and all the research done to help those who are sick. And all the treatment done on cancer for the 3 plus 4 plus million in the UK alone who have cancer and are sick. You know, we may have made good progress and there may be some good treatments, but the truth is we'll just die of something else, won't we? And in fact, we're lacking progress. We're still striving to make progress. Those statistics come from cancer research, whose whole reason to be is that we don't yet know how to cure some of these diseases. And many of us won't die of something else. 25% of us in this room are going to die of cancer, their website tells me. And we spoke last week, verse 41. About our world and demons, about evil, and how demons might fit in. And we've said there is so much evil, in the world. In one sense, it doesn't really matter how demons might fit in. It doesn't matter what's causing the evil. You've just got to identify it. And here's the question, if not Jesus, what is your solution? Luke says here, this is a sick and a dying world. It's a world that's full of evil. It's a world that's full of illness. And we are in desperate need of rescue as a world. If you like, verse 40, we need someone who's going to deal with sickness. Someone who can actually put an end to death. We need someone like Jesus, verse 41, who can just banish evil with a word. What sort of salvation is Jesus offering? Point one on the handout. Jesus is offering a necessary salvation. Point one. But here's point two now. If it's true that this world around needs Jesus, and because all of these things afflict us still today, and if it must be Jesus, that he's the only one to save us, as he proved on earth, verse 42, that day, then how can we meet Jesus? And how can we ourselves meet Jesus? How can we ourselves find rescue and be saved? And what is the deal with Jesus? Why is he not fixing things? Jesus, why are all of these evils still around today? And we're on to the second heading on the handout. Jesus offers us a necessary salvation, point one. Secondly, he does it through a message of salvation. Pick it up again at verse 40. Now, when the sun was setting, all those who had any who were sick with various diseases brought them to him, and he laid his hands on every one of them and healed them. Verse 41, and demons also came out of many, crying, "You are the Son of God." But he rebukes them and wouldn't allow them to speak about him because they knew that he was the Christ. Verse 42, and when it was day, he departed and went into a desolate place. And the people sought him and came to him and would have kept him from leaving them. But he said to them, "I must preach the good news of the kingdom of God to the other towns as well, for I was sent for this purpose." And he was preaching in the synagogues of Judea. Now, I don't know what would happen if you started off Luke's gospel and you tried to get it finished by AI. Okay, imagine that you're sort of typing out Luke's gospel, healings, demons in the gospel, and then you asked it to predict what's next, AI. You know, Claude, please could you continue into verse 43? Would you predict, please, Claude, what's going to happen in verse 42? Because you'd think perhaps with Jesus, if he's come for our salvation, then he would instantly restore this fallen world. That he might heal a bit more illness or sort of drive out a few more demons. He would instantly bring blessing to the world. In fact, still today, some people think that if you come to Jesus, all your ills in life will instantly be fixed. Because he's powerful, is Jesus. He can deal with death and illness. And so they think their life will instantly be fixed. It's not true, but there's a certain logic to it, isn't there? But Jesus, in verse 43... he turns to preach a message, and the subject is the coming kingdom of God. If you like, he leaves them with a message. They, verse 42, want healings. That seems to be why they're crowding around him. They want him to do more of that sort of stuff. But Jesus says, here is the kingdom of God. So I'm going to teach it. I'm going to reason with people about it. I'm going to warn them that it's coming. And the point that Luke is making is that doing all these miracles, it isn't in the first place what he came to do. Verse 43, his purpose, it was not to do these healings, even though they show the goodness of this news. Now, Jesus came to be God's king and to speak about a kingdom which would never fade and never be destroyed. A great forever kingdom. It's a promised, perfect kingdom. We thought about Isaiah a couple of weeks ago. He spoke about it. Think about Daniel, the Old Testament prophet. He spoke about it. Think about the author of 1 and 2 Samuel, where God's will is done. And there is no room for Satan's ploys, no sickness, pain, suffering, no crying, tears, or death. And while on earth he pictured it and showed us what was promised, and he pictured this great kingdom soon to come, and while he showed that he's the king of it, he is the king of God's great kingdom, he's the king of it, as 4 verse 3, God's Son. This kingdom belongs to the future, and the way Luke says to access it is listening to and accepting Jesus' words. It is believing what he's preached of it, the salvation God has promised. It's on offer to those who hear and believe his words. He's about to say, Jesus, just put it on the handout, everyone who comes to me and hears my words and does them, he is like a man building a house who laid the foundation on the rock. That is, he prepared himself for the world to come. He goes on, when the flood arose, I take it that's God's judgment, the stream broke against that house and could not shake it because it had been well built. Chapter 5, verse 5, which we'll come back to at some point. Master, Simon says, we toiled all night and took nothing, but at your word we will let down the nets. You get the point? What's the response to Jesus? You've got to listen to and obey his royal word. Now, look, we started with this voucher, didn't we? What is on offer? How to claim it. I think we've seen today that Jesus offers something priceless to our world and something sorely needed. It is priceless, Jesus' rescue. It is a necessary rescue for our world. And he's left us with this message from the king about his kingdom. Here is how to claim, he says, the kingdom that's soon to come. To claim the good news of the kingdom. It is through the preaching of the king. It is believing in God's one and only Son. And if you are here today and you have never come to Jesus, come, Luke says down here, for he has what you need. And if you are here today and you have done that, well, have certainty God's King has come and he's offering exactly what we need. What does Jesus offer? It is a message of salvation. It's a message of salvation for our world. How does Jesus offer it? It is a message of salvation. He has come to preach. We've got to believe his words. Here then is Luke's gospel. Here is the perfect promised kingdom. And Luke is saying, this kingdom, it could be yours. Because if you'll receive the message, and if you'll believe the gospel, then Luke chapter 1, you can be saved for sure. Let me say a short prayer, and I wonder if Sarah might come and do some notices for us. Let me pray. Our Father, when we reflect on these verses, it is so obvious that the world around us needs a rescue. That despite 2,000 years of scientific advance, we're still gripped by illness and death. Despite 2,000 years of so-called moral progress, the world is still gripped by evil. And Jesus Christ can get rid of those things just like that. Thank you so much for that, Heavenly Father. And thank you too that he's left us with a message, a gospel message through which we can enter that eternal kingdom. And we pray that you would help us to receive it personally, each one of us, help us to listen to it, help us to obey it, that we might be in his kingdom on that final day. Amen.